I'm Dr. Camille Parmesan, a professor at the University of Texas at Austin, and my expertise is really putting together data from all over the world on how plants and animals are responding to global warming. What we've seen are that something like 52% of all species are showing responses to climate change, which is a huge proportion, given that we've really had very little compared to what's coming. So we're having to start thinking out of the box. And a group of us have been promoting a concept called assisted colonization or assisted migration or assisted translocation, many names. But the idea is that we've always moved species around in conservation, but what we've done is we've moved them back into areas where they used to occur. So we restore the habitat, we bring them back in where they historically were. With climate change, our argument is that's not necessarily the best thing to be doing. So perhaps we need to be thinking not of moving them where they used to be, but to where they should be in the next 100 years as climate shifts. Now, this is very controversial because it means moving species out of their historic range. And a lot of conservation biologists are extremely worried that we're going to start invasive species, which is one of the reasons why species have become endangered in the first place. And we certainly don't want to do that. We need to do it carefully. But my counterargument is if we do nothing, we're going to see an awful lot of what we care about and what we've worked all these decades for just go extinct. There are a lot of species that we can already imagine would be good candidates for this kind of assisted colonization. Species that are fairly innocuous, they're not very competitive, and we know we can easily translocate them. And some of those species are butterflies, which happen to be my study organism. So we're already seeing many butterflies declining, the mountaintop species definitely, but even some temperate lowland species are declining as well, because as they're contracting up from the south, so the southern populations are going extinct because of warming and drying. What is happening to many of them is they can't just shift north because you've got Los Angeles and San Diego in the way. So in this case, they might be able to survive if it weren't for humans already dominating the planet. And so it's really our duty to assist them. You don't want to do this for a big predator. I would not think of moving tigers around. I would not think of moving polar bears to Antarctica. Nothing of that extreme. We'd be talking about moving species just a few hundred miles or a few hundred meters up to the next mountain range, to the mountain that's a little bit higher, to somewhere just a little bit further north. So fairly small shifts. And just a little boost to get them over that agricultural field or over that urban area to the next good habitat patch. And so what we're talking about is really trying to preserve biodiversity in a more broad sense than the conservation community has typically thought of it. So rather than thinking of, here's my little patch of land, I'm going to put a fence up around it and I'm going to make sure nothing gets in, what we need to think of is how do we preserve biodiversity globally? So maybe your little preserve will lose a lot of what that preserve was set up for, but then new things will come in as species are shifting around the globe. A lot of people ask me, well, you biologists have been spending all these decades convincing us that evolution is a real phenomena. Won't species just adapt? Won't they just evolve? And to some extent, yes. In populations, in single populations, we're seeing changes in gene frequencies that make that population better adapted to, say, hotter conditions or better dispersers as they need to colonize. But those are very, very minor genetic changes. And we call that microevolution. What we're not seeing is what we call macroevolution. We're not seeing any new genes emerge. So new mutations that would allow that species to survive in a climate space that species has never lived in before. And when we've had past major climate shifts, globally, we do see a lot of species extinctions. Mm-hmm. In general, the kind of climate shifts we've had the last few hundred thousand years have been relatively small, and they've been between a colder Earth and Earth as it is now. What we're shifting into is a warmer regime that we haven't had for some 3 million years. So many of the species that are now on Earth have never experienced the climate that we're going into. So we have no expectation that they're going to be able to survive. And when we look at what species are declining and going extinct, they are the cold-adapted species, the polar species, the mountaintop species. And so it's very unlikely that they'll be able to survive. They're not adapting. They're not evolving. they're simply declining and going extinct. So, I mean, some of them I don't think we have any hope of saving. I really don't think the polar bear can survive the next century or two. But other species, like if we have mountaintop species that are in Southern California, we can imagine moving them a few hundred miles further north to Northern California and perhaps allowing them to persist when otherwise they would go extinct. Although I am a conservation biologist, in some sense, I do think life on Earth will survive, even if we have mass species extinctions. In another few million years, new species will evolve. Life will continue. But humans, as a species, are really very vulnerable. And I don't think humans realize just how vulnerable they are. We haven't really been around all that long. I mean, much of our history is in an Earth that's as it is now or colder. And so, and if you look at the sort of aspects of humans that we consider make us distinctive from the animal world, our culture, art, writing, the agriculture, a lot of these things didn't emerge until about 10,000 years ago when the climate stabilized. It's very difficult to have agricultural areas, urban areas, societies when you have a very variable climate, a very shifting climate. I think conservation biologists, if we're going to expect species to adapt, we need to be as adaptive as we expect species to be. We need to think out of the box. And I've even brought up another idea, which is rather than moving individual species, perhaps we should be creating whole ecosystems in areas where they were not necessarily historically present, but that are better adapted to the climate that is coming than to the climate that has been. The geoengineering schemes, I think, are even more radical than the biological engineering schemes because I think we know a lot more as biologists about the systems we're studying because we actually have been able to experiment with systems on the ground in real time, whereas the geoengineering schemes, really, once we start doing those, it's one shot, it's one experiment, and, you know, I mean, I would be horrified at imagining taking action on a theory that we've actually got no experimental backup that theory is going to work. People do claim that we're acting as gods when we start doing this. And my response is that is such hubris because humans are fiddling with nature all the time. I mean, if you're going to say that one different kind of fiddling is suddenly a godlike act when none of the other things we've done, we've caused the extinction of just hundreds to thousands of species without even blinking an eye, and to say that the act of trying to save one is suddenly godlike is just hubris. It's not a mainstream idea yet, but it's starting to catch on. At least we're seeing it talked about in scientific meetings. The Ecological Society of America meeting next August is centered on climate change, and they are having symposia on assisted migration, assisted colonization, which I'm very excited about. So it's out there in the scientific forum, being debated, being argued, being discussed. A lot of people are still very much against it. They have a right to be against it. I think arguing about it is what I at least wanted to see. But 10 years ago, people didn't even want to argue about it. So now it's fine. This is what science is all about. We get up, we argue, we debate. We may not get a complete consensus on it. That's what you hope, is that eventually you get a consensus. And with this topic, you may not, because some people are simply minimalist and they really just want to see nature run its course. And of course, nature can't run its course with the current environment that we've put it in. So my argument is, let's help it.